Revelation chapter 4. We're going to begin to look at verses 1 through 11. We'll probably do verses 1 through 3 tonight, finished next week. But before I do that, during the fellowship time, I saw all the ladies over there just gathered around Miss Molly. They were said they were congratulating her already on having the prize chili. And so even before the judges judged. So that's kind of depressing. So let's talk about heaven, okay? Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. What will we do in heaven? I'm going to ask you to stand because you've been standing. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Remember the chapter 1, the vision of the glorified Christ. Chapter 2 and 3 is the church age. And after this, the church is raptured. And what we see in chapter 4 and 5 is a church around the throne and what we're going to be doing in heaven. As symbolized by John's vision here, I saw a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were a trumpet talking with me. Of course, we know that that's the voice of the Lord, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Father, I pray tonight as we begin this study in chapter 4 and 5, we call it a trip to heaven. Call this section, the unit, Trip to Heaven. As we begin to see the church, what it's going to be like right after the rapture when we go into heaven. So encourage us tonight through these scriptures, and we ask your blessings upon the reading and the interpretation and delivery of your word. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. My mouth's getting thick. I'm thinking about that hot dog and chili. But the focus of our text is on the throne of God, especially heaven. What will we be doing in heaven? Let me correct a lot of misunderstandings right off the bat. Heaven is not floating on a cotton candy cloud playing a harp, as you see in the commercials. Heaven is not an eternal vacation that never ends. Heaven is not, as taught by Mormonism, having a multitude of wives, procreating, and having our own celestial universe. Heaven is not, as taught in Islam, having an everlasting orgy of wine and women. And heaven is not, as taught by Seventh-day Adventists, where we die, we have soul sleep. Our spirit, soul, and body stay in the ground in time of the resurrection. And those that don't know the Lord are annihilated. There's no such teaching of an eternal punishment, a hell, in the Seventh-day Adventist. Well, so what will we do in heaven? One word, it's called worship. We see in our text. For eternity we'll see and be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Worship means to ascribe worth to. Worship, now I ran across this years ago and I want to share it with you. You might want to write it down. Worship is all we have and all we are used to praise Him for who He is and what He does. Worship is all we have and all we are used to praise Him for who He is and what He does. So beginning in chapter 4 and 5, we'll get a glimpse of worship in heaven. Now, also this is the last part of the division of the book of Revelation. If you'll go back to chapter 1, verse 19, the angel outlines the book for us. Look in chapter 1, verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen. That's the vision of the glorified Christ in chapter 1. The things which are, that was a church age, Revelation 2 and 3. And then the things which are, or the things which should be hereafter, that's chapter 4 through 22. And of that last part of that outline that we begin to look at tonight, it's divided into three main parts. You have the tribulation, chapter 4 through 19. You have the millennial kingdom in chapter 20. And you have the eternal state of the believer in 21 and 22. But what I want to do tonight is share with you the summons, the sights, and the songs in relation to heaven. And we're only going to go probably through the summons. Let's look first of all at the summons in verses 1 and 2. Now, the Bible says, after this, I, John, looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven,
And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. So we see here the some scriptures that are very similar to the rapture. And most conservative evangelicals who believe in the pre-tribulation, premillennial return of Christ, take the interpretation that this vision of John has, where he's called up into the third heaven, is a picture of the rapture as well. Why? Let me share some verses or some thoughts with you. Heaven is open to receive God's child, and it will be at the rapture. A voice of a trumpet. Remember the trumpet sounds in 1 Corinthians 15 and also in 1 Thessalonians 4. Chapter 4 comes after the church age. Yeah, church age, chapter 2 and 3. After this, then we have being called up into heaven. Immediately at the in the rapture, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. The picture of being called up is right here in this verse here, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 1 Corinthians 52. So you have a picture of the rapture. And if you interpret Revelation in its literal historical sense, you cannot come up with anything else but the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We're out of here. We'll go through tribulation, but not the tribulation, okay? So John gave God gave John a glimpse of the throne before the tribulation. So you have while we're called up in 4 and 5, the tribulation is happening on earth in a way when the first seal. By the way, the first seal, it opens up the tribulation period, and that's Revelation chapter 6. So if you interpret scripture like a lot of us do, then the church is in heaven before the tribulation starts. A time of great tribulation to purge and punish Israel for killing the Messiah, rejecting the Messiah, and all Christ rejecters of the world that did not believe. You know, at this point, let me say this. These visions, there's the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is the unveiling of Christ, but there's many different visions where John was called up and saw these things. And you have a lot of people today that say there's something more than Jesus. They're always looking for something more. And I'll tell you what Adrian Rogers said. He says, John got the visions, you get the book, right? And I settled for the book, right? And that's where it is. And by the way, the church is not mentioned again as the body of Christ until Revelation 22:6, because we're in heaven at this time. I preached one of the series I preached through Revelation. I called it Back to the Future. And I think that applies there. But the tribulation is over, and then we're called the body of Christ. Saints who know the Lord in the tribulation are referred to in the book of Revelation. You'll see it as we go. Saved Israelites or saved Gentiles are never referred to as the body of Christ. And so there is a mention of those left behind that didn't go in the rapture. They're called earth dwellers. You know, that doesn't refer to us because we're not on earth. Now notice we see the summons, but I want you to notice the sites, and we're just going to look at a couple here. And in total, there are 7 sites that John sees around the throne of God. Number one, he sees someone seated on the throne. Now pick up again in the latter part of verse 2. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. So John sees someone seated on the throne. Notice that word set, S-E-T. It speaks of the truth that God's sovereign rule is fixed and unshakable. It's set. The direction of our nation is not determined by liberal Democrats. It's not determined by a man in the White House. It's not determined by Congress or the Supreme Court. It's determined by the sovereign plan of God. It's already set in heaven. But I do want you to notice something else here. That word sat, S-A-T, latter part of verse 2, and one sat on the throne. Now that speaks to the truth that God has not vacated his throne. The word here is speaking of the fact in a Greek tense that it means it's a continuing process. God has not vacated his throne, right? And so things are going as he plans. So John describes his appearance like 2 stones, jasper and sardius. Some say the clear crystal jasper represents God's purity, and the emerald red sardis represents his redemptive purpose. It's interesting that each of the tribe of Israel's had a redemptive stone on their ephod that the high priest wore. These two stones are the first and the last stones. Jasper represents Reuben, which means behold a son, and sardis represents Benjamin, which is son of my right hand. So God is the first and the last. Notice the second sight that John sees here. He sees a rainbow. And the latter part of verse 3, there was a rainbow around the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. It was a circle. It was not an arc. Today we see a rainbow, it's an arc. You know, we often talk about finding the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Well, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a full circle, and we'll have found the pot of gold, right, in the presence of the Lord. Being a full circle represents the fact that everything is complete in heaven. On earth, the rainbow appears, you know, after a storm, right? After a rain. That's God. Y'all know what that means. God's saying, hey, I'm not going to destroy the earth by water, right? But it's interesting here, as you look at Revelation here, the rainbow doesn't appear after the storm. The rainbow appears before the storm, before the tribulation period here. And then we're going to go in further. Well, let's go a little further. I didn't want to go that far, but we're a little bit here early. If someone can run over there to the fellowship hall and see when the judges will be ready, I'll appreciate it. Okay? Thank you. Jason, you've been appointed. What else does he see in verse 4? He sees the church around the throne as represented by 24 elders. Notice verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, who are these 24 elders around the throne? Well, it can't be angels, because angels are not on thrones. We never see angels rewarded with crowns. Angels are separate from elders. The elders sing a hymn of praise about redemption. The angels don't sing because they can't be redeemed. And then you see that angels are not numbered, but they're innumerable. So 24 elders, they can't be the angels, so it's not the angels. Well, we say, well, these elders represent Israel. Well, it's not Israel because they're not redeemed till 7 years later at the end of the tribulation period. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. These 24 elders, some believe to be 12 from the tribes of Israel and 12 of the apostles, you know. And I'm almost to that view, except for one thing. The problem is they're not mentioned like that here in chapter 4. So who are these elders? Well, most Bible conservative prophecy teachers believe they represent God's people, the church, the redeemed of all ages. Many different reasons why. Notice here they have white clothing, they have crowns. This is a church raptured, judged, and already rewarded, white raiment and crowns. And I'll go a little farther next week about exactly why this is a church around the throne of God. So we'll cut it off right there for the sake of what we're doing, and we'll finish this text next week, okay? You don't want to miss it, because you're going to see a lot of good things about the book of Revelation, okay? But I want to do one thing before we turn it over to our judges, who I've already paid off.